This week's podcast is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Please consider giving a gift to keep this podcast running along with other From the Top programming. Go to fromthetop.org. From NPR Music, it's From the Top, the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, celebrating 10 years on the air. Today, from the Fisher Theater at Iowa State University in Ames, our lineup of outstanding performers includes a 16-year-old pianist from Massachusetts performing Stravinsky, and we'll meet a young oboist who has a challenging relationship with her high school band director. He's her dad. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Today's show is presented by Orchestra Iowa. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be back with you in the great state of Iowa for a second year of residency that's got us, in addition to doing radio shows, visiting schools and conducting arts leadership workshops all over the great state of Iowa. And today, our Iowa tour bus has pulled into Ames, the campus that pretty much epitomizes the big Midwestern land-grant university. One of Iowa State's most celebrated graduates has made his life in the arts, and much to our surprise and delight, he's returned to live in Iowa, and he's in our audience right now. Simon Estes is one of America's greatest bass baritones. He's had a legendary career beginning in the 1960s, and he's sung at pretty much every major opera house, including, for many years, at the Met. He's known for many roles, but best known as World's Best Botan and the Flying Dutchman. But Simon, first and foremost, you were born in Iowa.
Yes, I was, in Centerville, Iowa.
Simon, a lot of people don't know the other half of your life has been dedicated to humanitarian causes through giving your time and money and through starting philanthropic organizations. But right now, you're doing a really fun project here in Iowa.
Yes, I'm doing the Roots and Wings Tour of Iowa, and it's a dream that I had a number of years ago that I'm going to perform in all 99 counties of Iowa. And I'm going to give a certain amount of money to Iowa State University for scholarships, Wartburg College for scholarships, because I'm a professor at both of those institutions. And in each county, we're going to give a number of thousands of dollars to give scholarships to students from each county that they can choose whatever college or university they want to go to.
Just brilliant, the work you do.
Thank you.
Now we want to hear your voice in all its glory. You're going to be using your most beautiful deep basso profundo to introduce our first performer, who also happens to be from Iowa.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a young lady who lives in the area of Des Moines, Iowa, is a fantastic violist, and I ask all of you to welcome her, Miss Caroline Weeks.
Can't speak after that. That was the voice of the gods. You know, how am I going to follow that? I sound like such a pipsqueak now. Caroline, welcome. Would you introduce the piece we're going to play together?
Yes, we will be playing the first movement of Rebecca Clark's Sonata for Viola.
When you're ready, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
Caroline Weeks, 18 years old, our violist from Des Moines, Iowa, just south of us here in Ames. Caroline, spectacular performance. Wow, what
Thank
an evocative
you.
And atmospheric piece. And we've never had it on the show before.
Yeah,
Thank
that's
you.
What you said.
Just
no
beautiful.
Problem.
Thank you for introducing us all to this, Rebecca Clark. Caroline, when we were interviewing you before the show, I think it'll please our live audience to hear how you described yourself.
Yes, well, I would describe myself as just a good old Midwestern girl who loves her hometown of Des Moines, Iowa.
So, yeah. And of course, typical of any Des Moines girl, you grew up listening to this. The ineffable sounds of Antonio Carlos Jobim What does this Brazilian music mean to you?
Well, what most people might not know about me is that when I grew up, I listened to just about every type of jazz that you can think of. And one of my favorite types is Brazilian jazz and bossa and samba. Carlos Antonio Jobim is definitely one of my favorite singer-songwriters.
Fantastic. Love him, too. When you're not soaking up samba in Des Moines, you're soaking this up. So what's your Des Moines connection with Mahler's Second Symphony?
Yes, well, this year, my senior year, I had the honor of being an extra in the viola section of the Des Moines Symphony conducted by Maestro Joseph Junta.
Maestro and Mensch Joseph Junta. Love the Des Moines Symphony and Jim.
And it was just a really profound experience for me to be able to perform live in such a wonderful, wonderful group as it is. And it really kind of opened my eyes to the professional world of music making. And I started to think that I could get used to this type of life. So
I agree with you. I'm all for it. It's not just Mahler for you in Des Moines or Jobim. It's this. Bit of rock and roll. So tell everybody what that's about.
Yes. Well, a friend of mine has a band that he formed a number of years ago, and he asked me to record a bit with them this year. And I agreed, and I really enjoyed myself. I really enjoy kind of stretching myself, and it's great to sort of test myself to see if I can improvise, and I like to have my classical face and that side of things as well as my rock and roll face. So
that's great. So obviously you've had a real cosmopolitan upbringing here in Des Moines, but you're 18. Are you ready to spread your wings and leave, or are you going to stick around?
Well, I would like to travel the world some. I have a great love of French, so I would love to travel abroad to France. But I could definitely see myself coming back to Iowa and Des Moines and sort of settling down, you know, a number of years from now. I think it's a great place.
It's a great place to be born, so you're born into a town where you have to speak French. Des Moines, I mean, it's a French
word. Oui, oui.
So, anyway, Caroline, so best of luck in all your pursuits. It was wonderful playing with you and wonderful being with you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Reilly.
Thanks for being with us. Caroline Weeks, 18 years old, from Des Moines, Iowa. Nevada, Iowa, is just 8 miles away from us, from Ames, and it's the hometown of the young oboist who's just come on stage. Her name is Brianne Presley, and like Caroline, Brianne's 18 and a senior in high school. Brianne, will you please introduce the piece while I get ready at the piano?
We will be playing the first movement of the Vaughan Williams Oboe Concerto. Thank you.
Brianne Presley, 18 years old, from neighboring Nevada, Iowa, playing Vaughn Williams, oboe concerto. Brianne, that was gorgeous.
Thank you.
What a wonderful pastoral piece, and love Vaughn Williams, and the sound of the oboe that you get, just great. Brianne, who's this rather shell-shocked looking gentleman standing next to you?
Well, this is my dad.
Oh, okay. Of course, we don't normally have the parents of our performers join our interviews, but you have such a wonderful relationship with your dad, we thought he deserved it. So welcome, Wade.
Thank you very much.
Brianne, tell everyone the thing that makes your relationship with your dad so unusual.
Well, he's been my band director for the past 4 years, so I've had the privilege of having him in class every single day.
What's that like?
Well, at school, it's kind of nice having him around the school, but at home, it can get kind of annoying because my mom's also a musician, so it's kind of annoying having two musicians in my household. Because when I was littler, I would want to practice, and my parents would come in, and they'd be like, oh, well, you need to fix this, and I'd yell at them when I'd want their advice. And now, nowadays, when I want their opinion, then they're not listening in the other room. Yeah.
Wade, you get to see your daughter in a way most of us don't, live, in action, in school, with her peers. Do you appreciate her in that context? Does she embarrass you? Does she make you proud?
Well, she definitely makes me proud. Of many cool things that there are to get to experience, as many teachers do, their own child in the classroom setting, to see her as a young ninth grader, a budding oboist, and to evolve and put in the hours and dedication that she has to become the amazing artist that she is today has been just very inspiring to me as a teacher as well.
Absolutely. And Brianne, you obviously appreciate your dad, but you pull major pranks on him. It's an annual event, always on his birthday. Talk about what you did when he turned 40. Well, this is an important birthday.
Yeah, very important birthday. So I had to do something good. So I was in the middle school, and every day after the middle school, I'd go up to the high school to get a ride home from it. And so I made little note cards saying it was my dad's birthday on this certain day and to wear black, and I passed them out to random high school kids that I saw in the hallway. And so, word traveled fast around the high school, and it turned out they kind of schemed on their own, and they ended up TPing the band room a little bit with little streamers of toilet paper, and then some of the students got him some black balloons, and I ended it with getting him a bouquet of dead flowers.
Turning 40 on a high there, Wade. Really, kind of kicking you when you're down.
Well, it was very touching to see that sort of love for my daughter.
Then there was the legendary Silly String disaster of 2008.
Yes, I snuck into the band room on a weekend with my principal's permission. And me and a few of my friends, we went in and kind of decorated the whole entire band room with toilet paper. It was pretty covered, and we used about maybe 6 bottles of Silly String, and to this day, there's still Silly String on the lights on the ceiling, and there's still toilet paper in the vents above my dad's office. So
how did you outdo yourself this year?
Well, this year, my dad gave me a few rules. I was not allowed to. There was no destruction of property, and no toilet paper or Silly String involved. So this year, I stole my dad's desk chair, and I hid it in the middle school, and I gave him little clues to certain teachers around the school as a scavenger hunt to find his chair. And the last clue he got, he found, said, "Oh no, you are out of clues." And so he had to go about half the day without the clues, without his chair, and then until about halfway through the day where he got a bouquet of flowers where the last clue was, leading him to his chair, and so he got his chair by the end of the day.
Oh. Dead flowers, I hope, as usual. Has he ever gotten you back? I mean, Wade, have you ever taken revenge on your daughter?
Well, as a band director and with many public performances, I've definitely had my opportunities, but I have let them all pass.
Well, Brianne, along with parents everywhere, I have a powerful desire to see your dad even the score. So I've asked your dad to get in touch with his inner prankster and get you back in what will be surely one of NPR's classiest moments. Do you have any idea what he would do to you?
No idea.
What's the worst thing? What's the worst thing that could happen?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't think I want to go there.
Wade, impishly grinning, take it away.
Well, Brianne, one of the things that we do whenever the movie Mr. Holland's Opus comes on, there's a scene in Mr. Holland's Opus where the band director father is singing in a concert to his deaf son, who they've just had an argument with. And the song is John Lennon's Beautiful Boy. And every time that scene comes up on the movie, I tell you, if you're not careful, someday I'm going to sing that song to you in public. And today's the day. Close your eyes, have no fear, the monster's gone, he's on the run, your daddy's here. Beautiful, 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 beautiful girl. Beautiful, 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 beautiful girl.
Wow. Oh, wait, I guess we have to say revenge is a dish best served sharp. That was actually really nicely done.
I do have a band director's voice.
So, Brianne, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Yeah.
So lovely. Brianne Presley, just gorgeous playing and great to have a family moment with you. Thank you, Wade. Thank you, Brianne.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Brianne Presley, 18 years old, our oboist from Nevada, Iowa, and her very proud and very happy father, Wade.
We've got pictures depicting both sides of Presley pranksterism at our website. See how Brianne has bedecked her dad's band room over the years, and check out some photos I took of Brianne suffering through that surprise serenade. That's fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Now we'll hear the music of Igor Stravinsky, performed by an excellent 16-year-old pianist named Kong Chi, who's journeyed to be with us from the Walnut Hill School for the Arts in Natick, Massachusetts. Kong Chi, welcome. You're at boarding school at Walnut Hill, studying with the great teacher, Hwakyung Byun. Yeah. But tell everyone where you're from originally.
Oh, I'm from Shenzhen in China, which is near Hong Kong.
You've come across the world to study music in America. What are you learning here that you didn't get back in China?
In here, I start to play chamber music, and the teacher in here, the way teachers teach give me more freedom about the music to have my own way to play the music.
Opening up expressive vistas, I guess we'd say.
Yeah.
I understand, though, you've discovered a major distraction in America as well. What do you like to watch?
Oh, I love NBA games.
Celtics. NBA is great. Yeah. Well, and there you are at the Walnut Hill School, so who's your favorite team?
Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Garden to see
them? Yeah, one time.
What was your impression?
I was shocked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How come?
It's in the playground, it's so loud, the song and the players played. I was totally shocked.
Yeah, they make some noise, yeah. Celtics fans. Well, I have a feeling this crowd in Ames is going to react like a basketball crowd when they hear you play. Will you please introduce the Stravinsky?
Yeah, I am going to play the first movement of the Stravinsky Petrushka. Thank you.
Danse Russe, the first of three movements from Petrushka by Igor Stravinsky, played by a 16-year-old pianist from the Walnut Hill School in Natick, Massachusetts, Hong Chi.
What happens when six high school musicians decide to change their community one musical note at a time? From the Top is working with Iowa teens in a variety of projects, from teaching music to raising money for Alzheimer's research. Check out these arts leaders at iowamakesmusic.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Liberty Mutual, offering auto, home, life, and business insurance for a variety of needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy? From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.
From NPR Music, it's From the Top, the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. Welcome back. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary year, this week from the Fisher Theater at Iowa State University in Ames. Coming up, the presto from Mendelssohn's String Octet, played by seven young women and one very lucky young man from Columbus, Ohio. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show in Ames is presented by Orchestra Iowa and made possible with support from the U.S. Department of Education.
My name is Keitaro Harada. I'm 25 years old, and these days I'm a conducting fellow with the Tucson Symphony, the Arizona Opera, and the University of Arizona. But 7 years ago, I was on From the Top. I played alto saxophone on the show, and I'd just gotten into Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. But before Interlochen, I was basically self-taught.
When you came to Interlochen, though, your first sax lessons were sort of a wake-up call. I mean, were you blowing into the wrong part of it or something? Or...
I did not have any technical skills. Like, no, I only played ballads. Like
slow stuff.
So when I look in those play-along books, if I see anything more than, like, 16 notes, I'll turn the page to anything. Interlochen was a fantastic experience for me, and the teaching I got there revolutionized my saxophone playing. But while I was there, I also got interested in conducting, in a pretty unglamorous way. Many of my colleagues start conducting because they knew they had to be a conductor from an early age when they heard the Beethoven 9, a Mahler symphony, or a Wagner opera. But not me. I was dating this girl back at Interlochen whose mother was a pianist. When she found out that I was studying saxophone, she said, "Saxophone? Are you kidding?
How are you ever going to make a living playing classical saxophone? Why don't you do something useful? Like conducting.
Not the best motivation, but when I actually tried conducting, I knew this was going to be my life. Summer of my junior year at Interlochen, I took my first conducting class. At the end of the summer, I won an audition to conduct the Interlochen theme, which is an excerpt from Howard Hanson's Symphony No. 2, The Romantic. This was a life-changing moment for me. I can't describe the emotion and sensation I felt. So after that, I absolutely had to study conducting in college if I could. But as I shopped around for undergraduate conducting programs, I learned that there aren't any. All I heard was...
No, I'm sorry.
That's just not possible.
No, we don't offer that for undergrads.
No.
I'm sorry, you'll have to wait until graduate school.
Are you kidding? We don't offer that.
No.
No way.
I was crushed. But any great conductor first has to be a great soloist on their instrument. So I decided to pursue saxophone in college, and I was very lucky. I got to study with the best female saxophone player in the world, Deborah Rickmeyer, at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
I remember when he played for me, thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this guy has incredible artistry. He's an old soul. So I was excited to work with him. But on the other hand, I had seen him conduct. I knew that that was his passion, and I knew it was the right thing to do for him, so I totally supported it.
Yeah, I didn't forget about conducting. During my winter, spring, and summer breaks, I decided to go to St. Petersburg, Russia to attend master classes and study conducting with the teachers at the conservatory. The summer of my first year in college, I got to conduct a concert in St. Petersburg, which led to my encounter with Adrian Ganom, music director of the Macon Symphony Orchestra in Georgia. He invited me to be his assistant conductor, so I decided to leave University of Illinois. So you see, I figured out a way to study conducting as an undergraduate. But in the way a pianist needs a piano every day to practice, a conductor needs an orchestra of his own to get better. And for me in Macon, that was through building a youth orchestra. I spent an entire summer visiting countless schools, private lesson teachers, and homeschool families to tell them of the Mercer Macon Symphony Youth Orchestra I was starting up. My efforts paid off, and I was blessed with 34 students at the audition. It was a crockpot of talents, from a prodigy violinist, high school students who were just starting their instruments, to a clarinetist who was winning international competitions.
We miss Kay at orchestra. He was an awesome conductor.
He spent a lot of time behind the scenes, putting together these parts, writing them out for the students, transposing them.
He would give us pep talks. He made us laugh.
He's one of the special peoples, what I've always told my children.
People wanted to help him out with this. They were invested because he was invested, and that's just the kind of person Kay is.
But then I was offered this combination of conducting opportunities in Arizona that was just too delicious to refuse. Right now, I'm a fellowship recipient at the University of Arizona, and part of my fellowship entails working with the wonderful musicians at the Arizona Opera, the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, and the two university orchestras. So now I'm teaching, conducting, and doing international conducting competitions. But in my career, I'd really love to present a professional orchestra in front of a young audience who are not exposed to classical music every day. If I can have even a single kid walk home saying, "Mom, I really love that. I want to start the cello," then that really fulfills my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Keitaro Harada. Kay, with all your new and resplendent conducting responsibilities, I have to say I'm still really looking forward to getting next to that wonderful sax sound that you have.
Thank you.
So we're going to join together in an amazing piece of music. Tell everyone what it is.
We'll be performing Adios Nonino by Astor Piazzolla. Enjoy.
Unfortunately, it isn't always possible to clear podcast rights for all of the great pieces heard each week. And we're sorry to say this is one of our few restrictions. Don't worry, though, we've got you covered. If you missed this week's broadcast on your local NPR station but still want to hear this amazing performance, you can. Just go to our website at fromthetop.org.
Kay, as you explained in that audio portrait we heard before you played, your fellowship has you working with the Tucson Symphony, the Arizona Opera, but you're also conducting the University of Arizona orchestras, including one for non-music majors, and you like that orchestra.
I love it, actually. Non-music major orchestra, first rehearsal, sight reading, just sucks. Can I say that on the radio?
You can say.
Okay, it's not that hot.
No.
It's across the board. Every university is like that. But then you're given 8 weeks or 11 weeks and you work at it twice a week. Mm-hmm. You rehearse and you have a goal and the final product it's just amazing. The progress is just unbelievable. And that's what I love about
it. It's all about the love. It's not about proficiency. It's just, you know, gosh. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you inspire them. So we've heard a lot about the ways you've been giving back, but I want you to toot your own horn, as one would say, for a minute. Talk about your plans for this summer.
This summer, I've been invited as assistant conductor for to James Levine, who's the conductor of the Boston Symphony Orchestra and the Metropolitan Opera, and I will be his assistant in the production of Richard Strauss' Ariadne auf Naxos in Tanglewood, and I'll get to conduct the performance.
That's congratulations. That's going to be great fun. And I want our listeners to know that we have a really interesting video of you talking about the trail you had to blaze to become a conductor these
Correct.
Days.
Uh-huh.
It's over at fromthetop.org. Keitaro Harada, we look forward to great things from you and great playing with you today. Fantastic Piazzolla.
Thank you for inviting me
Thanks
back.
For being with us. Congratulations. Keitaro Harada, our 10th anniversary performer.
Podcasts of From the Top are available at fromthetop.org. Over the last 4 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
It's time for that string octet Joanne mentioned and for some wonderful, energetic Mendelssohn to close the program. Creeping to their places are the 8 members of Octet Abbraccio, all studying chamber music at the Chamber Music Connection with Deborah Price in Columbus, Ohio. We're going to talk with 4 members of the group. The lower string players, our 2 violists, are Meredith and Rachel Kufchak, 16 and 18 years old, and both Jack Kent Cook young artists. And our 2 cellists are Ruthie Cordray and Kyle Price, both 17. So first about the name. Octet Abbraccio is a wonderful name because it's embracing, right? Isn't it in Italian?
Yes, actually, abbraccio means hugs. Is it plural, did we say?
Yeah.
No, it's singular.
Hugs.
Yeah. Oh,
hugs.
Yeah.
Embrace.
One big hug.
Abbraccio.
Yeah, we thought it was fitting because we like to give each other hugs. We're a very snuggly group, except for Kyle.
Okay, but now let's get to the heart of the matter. 7 girls and 1 boy. Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, as you could imagine, it can be tough at times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I want to talk about NBA finals or the latest on SportsCenter, they want to talk about hair and makeup, and in Ruthie's case, Robert Downey Jr. So,
well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is this true, girls?
Hi, Robert. Hi. Hi.
It's not that true. It's sometimes true.
Even though Kyle doesn't want to admit it, we all know that he loves us very much.
He's very protective of us. It's sweet, almost.
Oh. I don't know about that, but yes.
When you guys go shopping, I have heard you've been walking through Mall of America and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd like to think that I look pretty cool when I walk through the mall because...
7 girls?
I mean, 7 girls, yeah. Yeah. 1 guy. I mean, people were probably like, wow, look at him. Wow. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. But ladies, aren't you a little mean about Kyle's facial expressions?
We're only mean sometimes. He likes to make a lot of very expressive faces while he plays cello. It's kind of hard to not laugh sometimes.
Meredith, you say expressive in quotes. I can hear the quotes in your voice. So I guess the raising the eyebrows and looking down at the same time sort of makes him look a little zombie-esque.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also tends to look like a fish with the lips pursed.
Let's stop picking on sweet but very tall and dreamy Kyle. Rachel, didn't you guys give an amazing impromptu performance of this Mendelssohn Octet at the Midway Airport?
Yeah, actually, both our quartets were flying to St. Paul, Minnesota for the St. Paul String Quartet competition, and we had a 3-hour layover in Chicago Midway, and we were in the Southwest Terminal, and our coach Debbie wanted us to do a little impromptu practice session quietly in the corner. We got our instruments out, and a couple minutes later, the lady at the desk came over and asked us to move to the center of the aisle so everybody could hear us. We ended up playing for a whole ton of people, and we got a lot of compliments when we finished playing. The whole crowd just erupted in cheers and applause, and they were all wishing us good luck.
Yeah, so it was and I think pretty... Southwest Airlines kicked in on some
vouchers.
Yeah,
they actually gave us $25 vouchers for our plane travels.
Good deal.
Which is nice when you have to buy an extra seat for your cello every time you go anywhere.
Exactly. Ruthie, didn't you also say you actually, you know, converted a flight attendant a little bit?
Yes, actually, a woman who worked at Southwest came up to me after we had played the octet and told me that she had previously only listened to rap music in kind of the top 100, which is at the moment, you know, Kesha, which is great, but you know, no Mendelssohn. So she said that we had converted her to classical music and that she would be listening to it in the future. And I think the Mendelssohn is that kind of piece. It's very, very, it's very approachable and it's energetic and it's kind of a rock out kind of piece. So
absolutely. This yeah. Mendelssohn would convert anybody, and you guys do play this spectacularly. Ruthie, would you give the formal introduction of the piece?
We are going to be playing the finale movement of Mendelssohn's Octet in E-flat major.
Before you play, let me also introduce the violinists in Octet Abbraccio. We have Eva Kennedy, 15 years old, Kaho Sugawara, 16, and Hyun Chung and Claire Watkins, both 17 years old. This will be a really wonderful way to end our show in Ames today. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for joining us and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Octet Abbraccio, you can take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley for Tom Bagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardius Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Liberty Mutual, offering auto, home, life, and business insurance for a variety of needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy? From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And from the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day, at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.